Karima Brown on 702.
It's coming up for 22 minutes to 9 o'clock. This is the Karima Brown Show. You're listening to 702. Now, the African National Congress has taken aim at foreign countries, what they call and refer to as imperialist forces, in a strongly worded statement which condemns the United States, Germany, UK, the Netherlands and Switzerland for expressing concern over corruption in South Africa. The statement released today comes in response to reports by the Sunday Times that President Cyril Ramaphosa was warned by the five world powers to take a clear, unqualified and manifest political commitment to the rule of law. Hours after the publication of the article, International Relations and Cooperation Minister Lindiwe Sisulu slammed a document instructing her department to summon the heads of missions of the five countries to discuss their memos and acceptable protocols in addressing such matters. Now the five diplomatic missions say they regret the misunderstanding caused by the memo they penned, in which they warned President Ramaphosa that his drive to attract foreign direct investment could be hampered if the state didn't enforce the rule of law strictly. And of course, this has caused a lot of division. And to look at it, we are joined on the line by Dr. Iraj Abedian, the Chief Economist, Pan-African Investment and Research. Dr. Abedian, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karima. Good evening to the listeners.
Now, just before we came onto the program, long after I booked you for the show, the joint statement from the embassies of Germany, the Netherlands, Switzerland, and the United States, and the High Commission of the United Kingdom just came out. I'm just going to read an extract for it and get your take on it. It says, "We appreciate the meeting with the Director General and members of senior staff of DIRCO this morning. We made clear that we had not sent any official documents to any branch of the South African government. What media briefing was referred to is an informal discussion paper drafted by our missions back in 2018 in the run-up to the President's Investment Conference. This discussion paper was intended to support South Africa's investment drive and to underpin constructive dialogue with the South African government. We have strongly supported South Africa's drive to attract foreign investment from the start, and we will continue to do so in the future. We are happy with the positive engagement we have had with the South African government and civil society partners, and we will continue to engage in the spirit." Is this a bit of a turnaround, or do you think the Sunday Times was a bit mischievous?
It looks as if, I don't have the facts, as you know, but by the sound of it, it's a bit of mischievous reporting and opportunistic, sensational generation of news. First of all, it's an old news. Secondly, it is not something that ordinarily embassies and high commissioners would do.
Yes.
And they clarify here.
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, diplomatic protocols are taken very seriously. Many people say they're just formalities, but they are the ways in which different governments talk to each other. So there has to be a sense of occasion, a sense of propriety. And this, of course, on the face of it, revoked all of those protocols that were involved.
Absolutely. And it's done by countries that are well-structured and well-known in the science and the art of diplomacy, and particularly that collectively they represent just over 75% of foreign investment in the country. So there's no way that they would consider jeopardizing the investments by their citizens.
Absolutely. I've got the details in front of me. In fact, Bloomberg says that they've released a graph about the top contributors in terms of foreign investment to South Africa. The graph, which is based on the Reserve Bank data, shows that the UK has invested 519.4 billion rand. The Netherlands, 146.3 billion, and Belgium, 285.7 billion, and they were the largest foreign investors at the end of 2017. The graph is especially pertinent as the UK, the US, Germany, and the Netherlands and the Switzerland were drawn into the spotlight this weekend after the report and, of course, after the investment conference. In fact, the graph puts the UK as the largest investor. So, the question did arise in the absence of this clarification, because remember this clarification came about a few hours ago, that the envoys that President Ramaphosa had sent out to make the case for the $100 billion US dollar investment in South Africa to kickstart our economy, that perhaps they were not doing their work. You work very closely with these people. What has been your experience of the way in which South Africa's message was received within the international community, considering that this letter is dated 18th of June?
Karima, I think 2 points that we need to bring into this unfortunate episode. One is, as much as clarification has been given by the ambassadors of these five or six countries, one thing that has not been given, and as a nation we need to put it into the discussion, is that if they are against corruption and if against abuse of resources, if they are, and then I have no doubt that they are, but they need to go beyond talk and the statement of intention to
need some action. Yes.
And let me just give you an example. One of the countries is Germany.
Yeah.
And one of the companies that has been caught red-handed in the corruption is SAP,
yes,
a German software company.
Yes.
They have admitted that they've made mistakes.
Yes.
But I would have liked to see an expression on the part of the ambassador to say, we recognize this, we're going to do every effort to recover,
yes,
not just the money that's been stolen, but the damage that's been done to South Africa. Much of the struggle that investment envoys of the president are doing is to attract investment and to convince the investment community that the South African capital markets or investment environment has not been irreparably damaged by corruption and abuse. But who has been party to this? It's been a UK legal firm.
Yes.
And KPMG, which is a UK...
All the advisory services that operate in these European countries.
And not only advisory. I'll go one step further. And I challenge the ambassadors and the players to show that their banking system, both British and American and the Swiss, have not been involved in the 6 billion plus illicit financial outflows that the Guptas and associates use.
Yes.
I know the Bank of Baroda of India was involved.
Mm.
So here we have both our BRIC partners as well as our investment partners, conventionally speaking, the countries that you mentioned.
Yeah.
They are making all these statements, but they're not putting a foot forward to say, we're going to help you to recover this stolen money. They cannot have it both ways.
Yes, yes.
They cannot expect the president or South Africa Inc. clean its act and yet not bring their subjects and their corporates, their banks, their legal firms, their advisory services, their software companies who have stolen in billions. What are we going to do? What are they going to help us out? They can't just demand, on the one hand, be clean, on the other hand, their subjects.
Absolutely.
I think that point in this discussion hasn't been raised and needs to be discussed openly, honestly, and going forward. We can't be clean in the sea that is filthy and corporate theft and plunder continues.
Absolutely. And those corporates are, of course, transnational. They actually exist in those countries. And you're absolutely right that they actually have to come forward. I mean, I'm thinking of Bain, the CEO that just, faked a flu and then fled to Italy, who robbed us of one of our most important institutions, revenue services. And Italy is, of course, completely silent about the matter. Dr. Abidian, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the question that you raised about action. There is a very important commission that's going on at the moment, the Mogoro Commission. It's basically looking at the fitness of two of the deputies of Shamila Batoe, who's the new new NPA. And of course, this is a critical issue. Our institutions must be rebuilt and we must have confidence in them. We're going to listen to the testimony of the former Hawks head, Johan Boysen, who was, of course, arrested and charged, and in fact the case is still running. There is an application to review the matter, but of course it demonstrates that on the part of South Africa there is in fact action going on. It's coming up for 10 to 9. I'm in conversation with Chief Economist at Pan African Investment and Research, Dr. Iraj Abedian, and we're of course talking about the entire brouhaha around the countries that invest in South Africa sending the president a note saying that he must do more to deal with the restoration of the rule of law, and of course also the arrest of certain individuals guilty of that process. And Dr. Abedian made the point that some of these countries can't have it both ways. A lot of their citizens and companies based in their countries were involved in the capture of the state, and they need to, of course, play their part in returning the funds. But let's look at what South Africa is doing to deal with it. One of the issues is, of course, to look at the NPA, which is the institution that decides whether warrants of arrest are going to be issued against people. And this institution has had a particularly rough time. It's been battered and bruised. It's now had a new head, but its two deputies are, in fact, answering to a commission whether they are fit for office. And today, Ms. Johan Boysen, who was the former head of the Hawks, supplied information around the fitness, particularly of Nomthobo Jiba. Let's take a listen.
7 years down the line, we still do not have a signed statement of Arrie Dannikas. As recent as November last year, and the paper trail of emails from my attorney, Carl van der Merwe, will confirm that. As recent as November last year, that statement had not even, and that's in the own words of Advocate Maya Emma, had not even been translated yet. Now, the problem that I also have with that, Advocate Abrams, in his affidavit, says that the statement had now been signed. And based on that, he authorized my second prosecution. Now, unless he's conversant in Greek, which I doubt he is, I don't know how he managed to consider Dannikas' statement, which up until November last year had not been translated, and I can produce the evidence in that regard.
That is, of course, General Johan Boysen giving granular detail. And as we said in our introduction, he was initially charged, those charges were dropped, and then Sean Abrams reintroduced those charges. And what he is effectively saying on the stand, Dr. Abedian, is that there was no legal basis for him to be prosecuted. Now, Mr. Sean Abrams is, of course, out of his job. How important is it that Shamila Batoy is going to have the right people around her to actually bring these people to book? Because so far, I mean, the NPA has actually withdrawn the case of corruption against Duduzani Zuma provisionally. And there's a sense among people that, you know, there's just all these commissions and nothing's really going to happen with anyone. No one's really going to be held accountable.
I think this is absolutely vital. We cannot have a new dawn, as the president keeps talking about it, without cleaning this completely corrupted institutions of NPA, to some extent Hawk and other institutions. So I think the new director is got a golden opportunity to reboot South Africa, reset it on the track that we'll have a promising of the new dawn, and will rebuild the nation's confidence in the governance of the society, not the government, the governance of the society, the rule of law, the accountability, the equality before law, that is not that the powerful and the connected and the rich can get away with murder in the daylight and the poor and the average citizens are treated differently. So I think she's got a golden opportunity, and there's a lot of expectations on her. And there is a lot of evidence that can quickly as they say, deliver to her some low-hanging fruits.
Mm-hmm. Now,
you should move.
Absolutely. One of the low-hanging fruits is, of course, having the right team. Let's take a listen to Johan Boysen speak about how Ms. Nomthobo Jiba used to authorize racketeering charges against him, even while he wasn't directly implicated.
And it was indicated that I was, for me, having that temerity to arrest them for trying to corrupt me, I was being called a mafia leader, and they decided there and then, in the words that Debo Mzobe used, is Boysen's wings will be clipped. And I think that's very significant, that those two particular issues, Edward Zuma having come to my office wanting me to release the money, which I refused, and also Debo Mzobe, who's a direct family member of the then state president, saying to a suspect that we are investigating that my wings will be clipped.
Dr. Abedian, the extent to which the Zuma family acted with impunity, the extent to which they could be so brash to walk into the head of the Hawks' office and say, leave this investigation, I want my money. What does that point to? Because there's this sense that, you know, all this information that has come out of Busasa, you know, the Guptas look like school children. But my point is that we've dealt with capture from the time of President Mandela, but the Guptas actually managed to capture the state president. They actually managed to do his work. They tried to appoint cabinet ministers. I mean, that is why his son could, for example, think that he could instruct the head of the Hawks.
Yeah, I think in terms of damage to the economy, there is no question that what the Guptas did in rand terms and damage to the macroeconomic stability was of a different order of magnitude. And the capture of the state,
yes,
and the corruption of the ANC as the oldest liberation movement on the continent. So I think that's a different order of magnitude. Busasa is a mafia style of the daylight robbery,
yeah,
protected by the political bosses that,
yeah,
happen to be the same family and the same ministers and the same cabal of the so-called ANC liberation leaders, who have in a way not only corrupted themselves but they corrupted the party. So I think these are different ends of the same spectrum. Both of them have corrupted other institutions, and the reason some individuals could act with this impunity is because they knew that NPA was disabled. They knew that the police was disabled. They knew that they could buy some of the judiciary people to destroy files. It's that confidence in the total disruption and corruption,
yes,
of the institutions of the state that gave them the confidence to be so brazen and do whatever they wanted to do.
And this segues very nicely into what I want to ask you as a final question. You say that they knew these institutions were captured. That is why they were so brazen. The EFF launched its manifesto 3 days ago, and it immediately launched an attack on Shamila Batoy. What is the EFF scared of? Why is the EFF opposing this woman who's coming in to clean up the process that was actually chosen by a committee of people? What do they have to hide, Dr. Abedian?
I don't know details, but there is no question that they are signaling that they are scared of a clean NPA. They are scared of the reappearance of the rule of law, and the fact that she has committed herself and she has been given assurance by the president that he will not interfere in her operation. So I think a whole lot of people are now scared, be they on the political side or be on the business side. They mustn't forget that for every corrupt politician, there are a few corrupt business people who collaborate,
yes,
with them,
yes,
front for them, etc., etc. So there's a whole lot of people, the so-called business, so to speak, has been put at risk, and they are attacking the new director. And it's for her to stand on the back of the constitution of the country, on the back of the belief that the South African citizens have in her, to carry her duties without fear and favour.
Absolutely. Now, of course, the EFF, both its leader and its deputy leader, has been directly implicated in the VBS bank scandal, which is classically called the bank heist. And we, of course, have no prosecutions yet in terms of that. And they could very well be in the firing line of the NPA head.
Of course, the record goes further back in history. It goes to the Limpopo, to the road agencies, to the so-called engineering company that was siphoning tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, from the roads construction fund. There is an awful lot here that if we have a clean NPA, can put a whole lot of people on the right and the left, from EFF to ANC to business to corporates, really bring them to account and clean the deck once and for all.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much. That is Chief Economist and at Pan-African Investment and Research, Dr. Iraj Abedian, spelling out for us why there is a new morphing of individuals that fear a clean NPA that is going to do their job. And of course, all eyes is going to be on Shamila Batoy when she, of course, gets going. It's just gone 9 o'clock.